Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Tuesday Night Flight. It's the big guy KG, sitting in with the incomparable, the insatiable, the undeniable. They like to say ladies love LL Cool J. You know, LL Cool J, ladies love Cool J. Nah. Ladies love Cool Midnight Rider.
What's up, man?
What's going on? We got the man that pays all the bills, keeps the light on. That's why I got this pretty light shining in my face. But oh, he ain't no slouch neither. Mr. What the ladies call him on the street? Mr. Daddy Long Stroke himself, the boss, BJ.
I be stroking, baby.
You know, when he get going, he turned into Clarence Carter. You even got to watch it. Clarence Carter. Oh, shit, Clarence Carter. That's my brother.
I just need a towel on my shoulder. That's all.
So we already going to start out love. We just not even going to build up.
No build up.
Oh, man.
First and foremost, how y'all fellas feeling tonight?
I'm good now. I mean, we on joke time already, so I ain't got to worry about the build up or not. We ready to go.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Just slide right into it, baby.
No matter how you slice it, baby. Man, first and foremost, let need y'all check this board out. That's right. 0.00000. I'm sorry. 0.00000001%. That's how much of the Commanders the sideline junkies owe. Yes. It ain't announced yet because you know the Forbes report. The Commanders Forbes report just came out. Hasn't been announced yet. But baby, we are part owners. You know, we part of that 17. We the silent 17. Shh. That's what we are. We part of the silent 17. But the Commanders report was released a little while ago. Of course, the group is led by Josh Harris, owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. They named billionaire Mitchell Rails and Magic Johnson as three. We just don't know who the other 14 are. As it sits right now, the majority owner will be Josh Harris. Gentlemen, I just want to hear what you have to think about this. Josh Harris owning 3%. I think Mitchell Rails will own 17 and Magic will have 4 and everybody else will be divvied up. What do you think about this, gentlemen?
I mean, I think that's the one that they got right. I mean, I know I'm not going to say they owed Harris, but I think Harris had a better bid than the Waltons. I don't know about how much, but I think the NFL took the Waltons because they wanted that brand in with them. So I felt like whatever the next team was, Harris was going to get. And I know there's some reports out there about other things that we'll talk about in a little bit, but I think it's the right move and the right person. I just hope Dan doesn't do anything to mess this up.
Hey, I agree with you, Midnight Rider. I think this is the right group. You know, we talked about this group before. You know, my special interest is Magic Johnson and what he's going to bring, as far as just that pizzazz and that charisma to the organization. And like I said, when you have somebody that has, you know, been a champion at all levels and can come in and put eyes on this organization, be like, hey, from my standpoint, this is what's wrong. That's what's wrong. I really think they kind of hit a home run with this group. And you know, to what Midnight Rider said, I'm, you know, I think everybody has their fingers crossed that Dan Snyder doesn't meddle. Ain't that what he's been called, a meddler the whole time? I don't think he is. I think this is a done deal. I think, you know, some conversations been had behind closed doors with the commissioner and Dan Snyder. And I think what's understood doesn't need to be said. But I think Dan Snyder knows his tenure is up here completely 100%. And I don't think there's anything he can do at this point.
I agree with you, with both of you gentlemen. I'm happy about this group. When we talked about it, and at first, you know, Byron Allen was mentioned. That's who my favorite was. But then Josh Harris comes in, you add Magic Johnson, you know, instant winning formula for success. So I will say that. However, Magic has won everything. He has a high school state championship. He has a national championship in college, 5 NBA championships. He has a World Series ring. He has a soccer championship. He said the only thing he's missing is right now is a Super Bowl ring. And Magic got in hockey somewhere, didn't he? Didn't he win a ring in hockey? Didn't he win a Stanley Cup too?
I don't think so, but I can effort that to see if I can find anything.
Okay. But this sale is still in principle. It has to be approved by the NFL and 24 out of 32 owners. And this will be this team is sold for $6 billion, that'll be the highest price tag of any sports franchise ever. I'm looking at this and I'm just hoping like hell nothing happens at the last minute. Of course, there was news of the gentleman Brian Davis from DC. He's offering $7 billion cash. We were talking about that off air, and the Midnight Rider brought up a really, really good point. Each league is starting to vet these potential owners, because you got guys that are coming in, and for lack of a better term, they got Donald Trump math. Yeah, they're rich, but they think, oh, well, I can pull a liquid cash, when you don't really have the liquid cash. You know, you may have it in assets and this, that, and the third, and you may have $1 billion in that, but it's not liquid cash. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference between being worth $1 billion and actually having $1 billion. Okay. And I think it's a good thing, because that way you don't get into a situation where a guy oversells himself, or a woman oversells themselves as this brilliant business leader, this mogul, whatever you want to call him. And then all of a sudden they don't have the money when it's time to put the money in escrow for a salary cap. Or it takes 32 teams to run the league. If one leg of that 32 falls down, the whole entire league can fold.
Yeah, and I think the other part of this is the NFL also has like rules on where the money can come from. So the money can't come from not a benefactor, but you can't have like somebody giving you the money or fronting you the money. It has to be your money in that situation. You have to have it yourself. So I think that's where some of the Brian Davis situation comes in. The question is, where is this $7 billion coming from? I mean, like I said in the chat, you know, the math don't math. If he talking about he got $7 billion, but he only worth $15 million, that money don't make sense. I don't care how you look at it, how you stretch it, and what else you do with it. But there's also like you can't have any kind of like foreign money. So like Saudi investors can't be involved in the process. So the NFL has done a good job of trying to keep away from getting funny money involved, making sure they know where the dollar came from for the most part. And I think the thing that's going to be in this process, you just said it, KG, there's 17 other partners involved in this. And I think they have to go through the vetting process as well. The good thing for Harris is he's done it before. So now we're just trying to figure out if there's any other carryovers. If there's carryovers there, they've already gone through the process. So now maybe we're talking about 10 to 12. Maybe we're not talking about all 17 having to get vetted. Maybe it's less than that. So that's the other part we got to think about in this process.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see, you know, how the NBA gets you now. If you want to expedite your ID mail to you, you got to pay a little extra. I think we're going to see an express validation and approval of the Commander sale. Because KG, you know better than me, Midnight Rider, you know better than me, how long this team has been rumblings in the league of the owners wanting Dan Snyder out. And I think that now they have that opportunity. I think the cat, Brian Davis, unless he can show them a bank account with with some cheddar in it, unless he can come up with some proof. This, I really think this is going to go through, and I think it's going to go through sooner than you think. So they can get Mr. Daniel M. Snyder out.
Well, I think it's going to be even worse than that. I mean, I think, well, not worse, but I think Davis got to do more than that. Like, Davis is going to have to come up with answers because, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but Sean Merriman is a person that has said he owes the money. I know Scottie Pippen has had a situation with him. And these are, of course, all allegedly. Let me not say I know. I'll say allegedly because these are all stories that have come out in the last couple of days. We're not a reporting service, so it's always allegedly with us. So allegedly, these situations have come up with those two at the beginning of it. But I know there's a couple more. I know there's a situation with Leitner where if they didn't report to court, they would have gone to jail. All this is outlined in an article in The Athletic. So if you need a source or you need to find out for yourself, that's the best place to get this information from. And again, we're only going to say allegedly because we didn't write the article and we didn't do the research.
And I think the other part of it, too, that the NFL got to tread water and be really careful is that if they don't kind of dot their I's and cross their T's, then you have maybe Brian Davis coming out saying this is racial because he didn't get the team. He didn't get a fair shot, whether he has the money or not. You know, if the NFL has to at least go down and open the rabbit hole, look down and just be like, oh, no, you're good. You know, all of the list of things that the Midnight Rider said at the NFL, where the money can and can't come from. As soon as they hit a roadblock, that's it. But I think if they don't do it, it's going to be a small issue. And then the other thing is, now you have all these reports coming out, these alleged reports, that's discrediting him financially as a businessman. You know, so that's the other thing. If you owe small chump change money, there's no way you can buy an NFL franchise for $7 billion cash. It's just like the Midnight Rider said, the math don't math, baby. It don't. It ain't slipping and sliding. It's dry. You know, you're going out. Remember the slide in the backyard when we kids? Slip and slide. Mm-hmm. You ever hit that dry part of the slip and slide?
Damn, they rip all your skin off.
Oh, my goodness. You come to a halt immediately. And I think that's what Brian Davis is going to do. He's going to come to a halt immediately.
My thing is, you know, you hear a lot of people say it, and in different parts of business, any kind of business, high business, low business, under the table business, if you're not serious about this inquiry, don't even start. And that's one of them things right there. If you're not serious about buying an NFL team, because you got to go through the whole process, and it's a lot to go through. I know it is. I understand it is. We've seen it done. But it's a lot to go through. And the thing about this Washington purchase, the 17 investors, once it's all said and done, they're going to wind up in about a year or two. They're going to start slacking off and, you know, selling their stake to either Mitchell Rails, Magic Johnson, or Josh Harris. And they're going to wind up selling their stake. Remember, Daniel Snyder paid $800 million for this team. And he was a part of a group, but he was the majority owner. And then slowly but surely, maybe 30 other people?
Well, you also got to remember, this thing started with a guy named Milstead. Milstead was the front of the group. And I think the unfortunate thing for Washington was the process had dragged out. And then it got to a point where the estate had some deadlines. When I mean the estate, I mean the Cook estate. Had some deadlines that had to be met. And when Milstead fell apart himself, Dan pushed together a group real quick and got pushed through. And I think that's one of the bigger mistakes that Tagliabue made in his tenure, is pushing this guy through. And I don't know how much of the vetting process he got through and got into to see what Daniel Snyder was about. But it seemed like after he got him, there was some regret. like some hindsight, being 2020 and him regretting maybe making that move or accepting that person.
What's crazy about that, and I hope we don't go through this again, because let me rephrase that. I know we're not going to go through that again, because after Jack Kent Cook passed away, his son John was running the team. And everybody wanted it to stay in the Cook family. I mean, I couldn't find a fan that didn't want this team to stay in the Cook family. But Daniel Snyder and his group came in and outbid him. And I was like, that bid should have never came. You call yourself a fan of the hometown team, and you just didn't have, even then you didn't have your finger on the pulse. And you made this purchase, and the rest is history after that.
Well, I think we're going to see. I think Cook was the precursor. I don't think he left the team to his son.
No, he left.
There was some part of the estate. And then, I mean, if you pay attention, you're starting to see some of these teams that have estates tied to them, and the kids aren't able to pay because of the tax structure around having a team become part of a state and being gifted to you or transitioned to you. So that becomes the difficult part, because if you think about it, the dude in Seattle, I think he passed away, and I mean, nobody has more money than him, but some reason that estate isn't going to be able to hold on to the Seattle Seahawks. So probably in a year or two, they're going to be coming up. Same thing that happened last year with Pat Bowlen. So there's some things in place where some of this is outside of the person passing away's hands. And I think it's going to be a curious case study, see what happens with the Orioles. Because I think the Orioles are pretty much in that situation where Angelo's and the sons aren't going to be able to keep the team once the dad passes away. So that's going to become something else. And maybe that becomes the road to the Nats being sold and the Masson thing being resolved.
And it was left in Jack Kent Cook's will that the estate sold the team.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's what it was. And everybody was like, okay, we got to figure out a way around it. Couldn't find a loophole through it.
But you know, that's how Buffett is, though. Like, Buffett's not really leaving anything to anybody. Like he's making them earn it. So I don't know how it's structured, because me and Warren, we don't kick it like that. But I know I've heard rumblings that he's not planning to leave anything. A lot of that's going to go to places or to charities. And think about Shaq. He says, I'm rich. You're not rich. So, you know.
Bill Gates, his kids, when they get old enough, they got to start at the bottom in Microsoft and work their way up. They got to start at the very, very bottom, because you can't just come in, oh, because you my child. And I love that, because it instills the hard work ethic in you. So
I just want, since you love that, when he started giving shots and brain chips, you be first in line, okay?
Whoa. I said what he did with his kids. Now, what he do with that other stuff, I ain't got nothing to do with that. That ain't me. That ain't nothing. Them brain waves, all that, I ain't with that.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all watched Star Trek Next Generation, but remember when they asked Data a question and his eyes would be kind of like going back and forth processing the information? That's going to be Kevin in a few years.
Damn. I ain't down with that. Sticking with the NFL. Man, report out of Philly. Jalen Hurts went to cash his check in the bank bounce. It said three people got hurt. $255 million over the course of 5 years. Ha! Whew. That's Lord have mercy.
But that's a, you know what that is? That's a deal.
Yes.
And like that's in three quarterback signings, he's going to be like the fifth highest paid quarterback in the league in no time, because you got Burrow, you got Herbert, maybe even Tua comes up in that. So yeah, it's funny how when the person signs, it's like, oh yeah, the highest paid, highest paid. And then within a matter of months, they're third, fourth, fifth on the list.
Yeah. But I mean, it's always great. Like, I'm take it back. Remember when KG signed at 126? And everybody was like, oh man, you ain't never gonna see another deal like that. First $100 million player, highest paid of all time, and Ray Allen swooped them for what, 134?
Yep.
But Ray Allen's is always gonna be the highest paid because what did he do? His mama was his agent, he got to keep all the money. Now, I think we got to shine a spotlight on Nicole Lynn of Clutch Sports because she put out a tweet back in January looking for a Brinks truck. Yesterday, she said, oh, found it. You're damn right you did. Like,
but she was somewhere else. So she was with another firm, and then I think Clutch picked her up. And then once Clutch picked her up, she shot her shot. She sent him an email or a DM. Was like, I want to represent you and whatever. And he jumped on it. And yeah, she's not bad looking either.
Mm-mm. I'm going to say this. Go ahead.
I'm going to flip the other side of the coin because I think this deal is a Lamar killer because, you know, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, look at Jalen Hurts and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, to Lamar's defense, he's never had an A.J. Brown to throw to. He's never had a team as strong as Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts did a lot to get that team there, but he had a really strong team. But I think with this deal, I don't think Lamar is going to get nowhere near what he thinks he's going to get now with Jalen Hurts' deal going through and what he's accomplished and getting to the Super Bowl. Lamar hasn't been there yet. And, you know, unfortunately, the Ravens' road to the Super Bowl, it has like a triple brick wall through it. Like, they're not even coming out of their division. So, yeah, I think the other side of this is the Lamar side. And I think that really, really damages what he's asking for. And I think this is going to turn into a Le'Veon Bell situation where he's going to drop this bag and end up having to sign a prove-it deal, which is absolutely crazy. He's going to end up having to sign a prove-it deal probably with Baltimore.
Well, his prove-it deal will be the franchise tag. That's going to be the prove-it deal. But that's also his fault because he missed the window. The window was getting this done last year. Like, sometimes you always got to strike when the iron is hot. Like, so you can't let certain things carry over because he lost his leverage. Once he let it get to here, he had no leverage because Baltimore was like, all right, show me. So Baltimore knew. They figured out, they did the math around the league and saw who had what and what money was available. So now his next best option is he needs Indianapolis or the Raiders to miss out on their quarterback come April 26th, 27th, next two Thursdays from now. He's going to need one of those two teams to miss on their player, and then he comes back into play. He's going to need some team to miss out, or he's going to need Josh Harris to believe in him, and Josh Harris makes a call once this gets official, and I was like, make it happen. I mean, there's only certain roles. I don't see the Josh Harris angle working because he wouldn't put a – I don't think he would put a quarterback in place before he got his GM of choice. And his coach choice. And I say those words in that particular thing. His GM, his coach. Mute button, baby, mute button.
I'm sorry. I don't even know if I want to work for you. Like, you willing to fire anybody. Like, dude, I just got in here and put my stuff on my desk the way that I want. I haven't even started working yet, and I'm already fired?
Ron Rivera been here for 4 years.
And he said, give me five.
I know. Jason Wright's been here for two. And Marty, they got picked by him. But I come from – so he has stake in Pittsburgh. So he comes – he's already going to come from a place where it's GM-centric, not coach-centric. So this year that we're that Ron Rivera has, this is make or break. He might get lucky and get in the playoffs, but this is his future's on the line here. And I still don't think that they will let Martin and Marty decide the future of this program. So I already know the GMs are gone.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. And I think the only way Ron Rivera saves his job is if he can take this team into a deep playoff run. I don't even care where you finish in the division. If you can get into the playoffs and prove that everything you've been talking about, everything you built up, you know, and you can build up Sam Howell and this team can go deep, that's the only way Ron Rivera comes back next year. And then I think even if that's it, he's on the string, because I don't think it's fair. Like, you know, we don't see these teams change hands very frequently. But I don't think it's fair for somebody to come in buying a franchise. You got to put your own stamp on it. You want your own people in there running it the way you want to run it, not the way it's been ran. Because the way it's been ran, the whole league sees that it's a disaster. And I know we talked about it last podcast. You know, a lot of these guys have, you know, strings and chains on them that'll be broken once given a chance. So you'll get to see maybe some of it. You probably won't get to see the full extent of it because, like Midnight Rider said, I want my GM. I want my coach in here. I want my people in the office. I want, you know, everything changed the way I want it. And that's fair because I just spent $6 billion on this thing.
And I understand every single morsel of what you guys are saying. Here's my problem. Why do we not? Let me rephrase. How many times do we have to keep starting over? We never give anybody a chance. Okay, let me rephrase that. You gave Jay a chance, it didn't work because he was banging the chick in the front office. Marty never got a chance. And this is the way the old regime did it. Marty got one season to turn it around. You need something to actually click, some sort of continuity. We kind of sort of got it, and it's like it's like a furnace where you just replace the pilot light and it's clicking. You're hearing the three clicks, it's about to come on. But we've been playing with the same thing for the last four seasons. No quarterback.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I'm glad you said what you said. And that's why I said in the beginning. You don't get to change, friend. You don't get to see owners change this isn't an every season thing. You know, these owners, for the most part, when they get this team, they own them for their whole lives. So when you take over a company that's being ran like into the ground, but you know the potential is there, you're going to change it so it can be one profitable and one put a good product on the field. You know, the Commanders, you know, have pieces, and not to go too deep in what the Commanders need, this, that, and other. But we've seen over the last four seasons a Ron Rivera team come on the field and absolutely lay eggs. This is Dan. This is not Dan Snyder. It's not the GM. It's not the secretary in the office. It's preparation. It's a difference between not having talent and not just getting your ass whipped on the field, and having talent and just looking absolutely lost. Like the Bills and the Bengals in the playoffs, the Bills look absolutely lost. Like, we don't even know why we're here. And that's some of the moments you've had on the field with the Commanders. So like I said, I think Ron gets a pass, and you'll see him, like, he got to coach this has got to be the season of his life. This got to be the season of Ron's life. Jack Del Rio, all these guys. All right? But when I come in and I spend money and I'm taking over a business, that's like me saying, you know, I'm going to put KG in here because I know KG, you know, can do this side. I'll put Midnight Rider here. I'm putting my people here that I trust, I know, I've done business with before. Magic's going to have an input. You're not going – And who knows? Wright might get interviewed with Magic and these guys, and be like, we like them. We're gonna keep them. We're gonna give them a chance. You know, you don't know. They still got to interview these guys. This process got to take place. But it's not fair to compare what the Dan Snyder era did, because we know they did things wrong, and you're everybody's been wanting this moment, so you got to give these guys a chance to lay their foundation.
Agreed.
Well, the case study is Denver last year. I mean, Denver came in. I think the Waltons came in, saw what they had. They allowed it to play itself out because they came into the process late. They kept the GM. You fired the coach. You got a new coach, somebody that you spent money on in Sean Payton, and now you're moving forward. You got your quarterback in Russell Wilson. Peyton's job is to fix him, and if he can't fix him, then you know he got to go by. I don't know how soon that happens and how soon he wants to take the hit for that, but things are in place. And I think what you're going to see with Josh and company is when they get in here, they're going to see some people, because this place, I hate to tell you this, but that place has some talented people in the building. I was in the Grant and Danny earlier today, and there was a guy that was in charge of like strategic marketing. But I mean, the way he talked like a man that had his hands tied behind his back. You know what I'm saying? And that's the hard part. And I'm gonna go on a tangent. Did you guys hear the Vinny Serrato interview with Grant and Danny on last Friday?
I try not to listen to anything that Vinny Serrato says.
All right. So Vinny Serrato, in his interview, he made two great points. So he brought two great things up to light. So the first one was, he said the biggest regret he had was drafting Malcolm Kelly. Doesn't take too much to say that, but he said, here's how we got there. We were on the clock. I mean, we were talking in the draft room. Dan comes in. Hey, what are we going to do? He says, I think I'm about drafting Jamal Charles. Dan leaves out. A couple minutes later, Dan comes back in the room. Hey, what's our plan with this pick coming up? Still taking Jamal Charles. Get on the clock. Dan comes back in. What's the plan with this pick? I'm about to take Jamal Charles. Dan says, no, we're taking Malcolm Kelly. Walks out the room. His next statement, Vinny's next statement is, the problem sometimes is these guys, and he's talking about the owners, they have the people they trust. And sometimes they listen to the people they trust more than they listen to their football people. And I know I'm about to short circuit KG right now because he's about to go on a tangent about football people doing what football people do. But that's...
Them gerbils not working. Oh, man.
At least he froze with a smile.
Yeah, he did. And Jesse say we need a new chapter just like the Detroit Lions. Ah.
There we go.
All right, there we go.
So I don't know what I last said.
You never got even to the tangent. You right at the beginning of the tangent. So a short circuit.
So it was Vinny Serrato. So Serrato is in the draft room the year they draft Kelly.
Yeah, we got that.
All right. All right. So the last part. All right. So you heard what I said. Dan said draft Malcolm Kelly.
Right.
Okay. So then the other thing is he said that the problem with owners is sometimes they listen to people in their inner circle more than they listen to the football people.
Unfortunately.
So you got, you know, Dan's boy that provides the Tito's say, oh, I saw Malcolm Kelly and he did this. And that's how you end up with Malcolm Kelly instead of Jamal Charles. Think of that.
Here's my thing. Not a big Serrato fan. And everybody praised that particular draft. Everybody praised, oh, that's the best draft Washington's had. We got Devin Thomas. We got Fred Davis. We got this. We got that. None of it panned out. I was like, stop calling it the best draft. You need 5 years to call it the best draft. Okay? But that's not the first nor the last time Dan did that.
Right.
What's the cat? Santos. That was here. I forget what draft it was. I forget who we picked. But it was a pick that went against what we needed. He got up and literally stood on the table and was like, we need to pick this guy now. Dan was like, no, I don't want him. I want him. We don't need him. We need this guy. He said, you know what? I'm done. Walked out. He wound up getting released, resigned, fired, whatever you want to call it, in the next couple of days because he battled Dan back. This is what I say. When I say Dan tries too much to be like Jerry, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Because Jerry Jones used to always want to sit in the war room, and when they tell him the camera guy come on, he got to pick up the phone and sit there, you know, with his two Super Bowl rings. He got to sit there on the phone, you know, got my two Super Bowl rings. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. You ain't talking to nobody. Why? Why do you have to posture yourself like that? I say it all the time on this show, and I believe it in life. When you do something and you're the head of something, always hire people that know more than you to work for you. If I hire the Midnight Rider to run my offense, the boss BJ to run my defense, I don't need to say nothing else. I need to shut the hell up and let them do their job. That's it.
Put women and children to sleep, baby. Let's go. I'm sorry.
That's it. Okay. I want to walk by the meeting room here. Shit, I'm ready to go play now and walk the fuck off.
Tell BJ his defense ain't going to get no rest. We ain't ball control over here.
Well, I'm blessing 12, so.
Oh, God. So, but, we already know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, but this is Dan, and I get it. But Dan's a piece of work. He always has been, always will be. But
you think about the amount of talent that's left this building, and I'm not even talking about, like, people always talk about the Shanahan boys, whether it's Kyle and company leaving. I'm not even worried about those guys. I'm talking about the guys in the front office. You lost the McLuhan. You lost John Schneider. You lost Santos. What's the guy that Doc used to always bring up? The black dude that was part of the scout team. He was like the assistant GM. What is his name? It's going to come to me later on. I'll probably say it in the middle of the night, like while I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
But it's a bunch of guys that were in that building that had talent. It's never been a question of talent. It's always been a question of Dan allowing them to use their talent to be the best versions of themselves.
Do you remember we had AJ Smith here? AJ Smith's son?
Yeah.
We had father and son here.
Yeah, and I love Kyle is in Atlanta now. And I think if you remember when we had our show, I would have brought him back. I brought him back as my GM. I mean, the only thing you gotta get past is his exterior. Like, he's not a loving, and I'm not saying loving, I mean, he's just straight out just who he is. He's an asshole. So
I don't care about, do you get the job done? I don't care about
nothing. Right.
But getting back to Jalen Hurts, he signs his deal. Now, last season, he played 15 out of 19 games, 14-1 as a starter. You know, that one loss came against left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders. That came against us. He had career highs in completions, attempts, completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, almost a career low in intercepts, 22 over 6. Rating, man, he did it all. So, not going to say, oh, man, they paid him too much and whoop-de-whoop. Nah, it's not. It's nothing like that. It's none of that. None of that. I think this is on par for what he did. And Philly, I think, has learned from their mistake with not only Wentz. They paid Wentz the money he got hurt. He didn't pan out. But how it happened with Foles. Foles takes you to a Super Bowl win, and then you still let him go for Sam Bradford. You know, I think they've learned their lesson. However, on the flip side, as a fan of the Washington Commanders, I am pissed about this damn deal. I don't want to see this dude twice a year for the next 5 years. No. But
I mean, but you didn't think you. So the funny thing, all right. So the funny thing was, if we all remember how the season started, he was the biggest question mark in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Over Wentz, it was what can he do? How can this happen? Blah blah blah. And I think the one thing that we forgot is Philly takes care of their trenches, so they have their offensive line, their defensive line. That's what they're built around. And then everything else is ancillary. Then you go out and get one of the top five receivers in the league and throw him with this kid. And now this kid just – he grew. I mean, part of that helped having this top five guy on the outside. Like, you were just in a much better place than you've ever been. And from a talent-wise, had more talent than you ever had. And I understand why Philly doesn't invest in the running back position. I had them taking Bijan Robinson, but I'm gonna have to take that back. When's our draft show? Now we do our draft thing. Yeah, Bijan's gonna have to fall on my draft. Because I don't see Philly taking that type of talent when they can get somebody later on. And yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'm doing some information on the show.
That's okay. Let me say this: since we're talking about Carson Wentz, 8 months ago, I made a video, made it short. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's even on TikTok. And I was talking about the whole Carson Wentz deal. Didn't have to disturb much, but $29 million in the cap. There's a gentleman on YouTube, Zachary Miner. Shout out. Thank you for the comment. Thank you for the support. He said, sir, we needed a quarterback. And here we are 8 months later. We're in the same position now. We got a youngin' as a quarterback. So did we really need Carson Wentz to get back to this point? Honestly,
you didn't. But I mean, when you're standing on a soapbox, and that's your thing, we got to go out and get a quarterback. You couldn't come home without anything. You know what I'm saying? That's like saying you go on to the whole week you're about to go to this party. And you're telling your boys, I got to come home with a girl. And you start dancing with all the pretty ones and they turn you down. And, you know, sometimes you get stuck. You know, you get stuck with that last one in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Look good in the darkness, but when it come to light. So that's all it was. Ron Rivera, he picked him a beer goggles girl.
And I'm going to tell you something. When that happened, I said we went from being possibly first or second in the division, maybe first or second, to third or fourth. Because I knew in my heart of hearts, we were not going to get the Carson Wentz of, what was that, 2018, 2019? Mm-hmm. We weren't going to get that Carson Wentz. I don't think he can be that guy. But like I said, we needed a QB, and we right back in here talking about who's going to be the QB next year. 8 months later, not even a full year, we're right back at it. Yeah. But see, I love when stuff like this happens because it makes me look like a fucking genius. I love it. Ah, I love it. Anywho, Jalen Hurts, $255 million, 5 years. Hey, I'm happy to see him get it. I think, like everybody else, it hurts Lamar.
So, all right, so let's stop saying that because I don't think anything hurts Lamar. I think Lamar is already damaged goods. And the reason I say that is because he missed the window. And I'm going to keep saying this so I'm blue in the face, especially on our show, is he missed his window was last year or during the season. And because he didn't get it done, he's sitting here. And the Baltimore Ravens decide to say, all right, let's play a game of chicken. And the game of chicken is, all right, you say you're worth all this money, whatever he's asking for. I don't know. I don't care to know, but whatever he's asking for. And then beyond that point, he hasn't gotten it yet. No one's sent an offer sheet in. No one's done anything. So he's got to wear this right now. And he's going to be in a bad spot because this league didn't set this this offseason stuff in favor of the players. This is all in favor of the owners because if he wants to sit out, he's going to miss out on a whole lot of cash. So he got to sign sooner than later.
Let me ask you, gentlemen, a two-part question. Number one, you said something about a prove-it deal, right?
Yeah.
Now, this dude's a former MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, he hasn't had a losing season since he's been in the league. His overall record is 45-16 as a starter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't had a losing record.
Mm-mm.
Let's flip this around. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. If this was Aaron Rodgers, Warren Moon, Dan Marino, I'm trying to think of just great quarterbacks that will win an MVP award. If this is Warren Moon, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Sid Luckman. If it was any of those great quarterbacks that were in the prime of their career, would this ever be an issue? Would they have to play on a prove-it deal?
If they did it this way, yeah. Like, I'm trying to tell you, like, Lamar has mismanaged this part of the process. And it's because he was holding tight to whatever Deshaun Watson got. If he could have a deal done by now. And his deal will probably look like the Jalen Hurts deal. But it's not, because he's steadfast on either fully guaranteed from what they're saying. We can't confirm or deny that. Or he wants certain things in his contract, and right now they're not willing to give it to him. And because he's here at this point, he's at a point where it's like, all right, show me somebody that's willing to pay this price for you. Because really what Baltimore's doing, Baltimore's tired of negotiating. That's what this is. They're tired of negotiating with him, so they're going to let somebody else do negotiating for him. And the reason nobody has offered him a deal is because they're not going to do Baltimore's dirty work for him. So he's stuck in a conundrum.
Let me tell you this, and we talked about this all through the season and before the season, you know, with Lamar's deal. And I said this before, and it's a fair assessment. If you're a GM, and I said this with Bradley Beal's deal, if I'm going to pay you top five, top three money, and I'm going out there and I'm second in my own division, second or third in my own division, that's an issue for me as a GM. Because as great as Lamar is, he has durability issues. So, you know, Buffalo signs Josh Allen. They know they got a chance to, at least a chance to get to the AFC Championship every year. Cincinnati signs Burrow. They know they got a chance to get to the AFC, at least the AFC Championship yearly. Mahomes gets signed. AFC Championship yearly. Jalen Hurts, NFC Championship. You know, if I'm putting this money on the table and you miss the playing game, or you're second in your division and you get bounced in a wild card, why am I paying you this money? This is a fair question. And this is not to bash Lamar, because this podcast, we love Lamar. The Midnight Rider, you know, he, like I said, he's going to say it until he's blue in the face, and he's right. Part of this has to go on Lamar because he's mismanaged his situation. The second thing, if you're a GM, and I think we all agree that the Ravens are one of those first-class organizations. They're starting to be up there with the Pittsburghs of, you know, personnel moves and how they run their organization, how they treat their players. So you can't start questioning them now when they don't want to pay this guy. It's other reasons on the table. Yeah, he's flashy. Yeah, he's a dynamic player on the field. He could, you know, bite. He got a dynamite arm. But you're not durable. And if you're down, our team, we're not going to win. We saw with Tyler Huntley come in. And it doesn't move the same with Lamar. It tells you how dynamic a player he is. But I just can't, like I said, I can't justify paying this money knowing that we can't beat Cincinnati when I sign you. We signed Odell, we signed Lamar, and we're going to finish second to Cincinnati. That to me, as a GM, as a Ravens fan, you should have a problem with that. Then, okay, then maybe we need to start over on quarterback. Maybe we don't have the right guy. If you put Joe Burrow on the Bengals right now, they beat the Ravens, and you flip and put Lamar on the Bengals, The Ravens are number one in the division. If you put Joe Burrow in Pittsburgh right now, Pittsburgh wins the division. It's that simple. Unfortunately for Lamar, as good as he is, former MVP, you can name all the accolades in the world you want. He's not better than Joe Burrow. He's in his division. He's not better than Josh Allen. He's not better than Pat Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? He's not better than these guys. So you're already behind the eight ball for three or four quarterbacks, one in your own division. You're not getting that. We should stop right there. You're not getting out of your own. You can give him $300 million guaranteed. Y'all are gonna be wild card or division and done. That's what it is. That's what it is. You're not going in Cincinnati to beat Cincinnati. You're not going in Buffalo to beat Buffalo. You're not going in Kansas City to beat Kansas City. If Aaron Rodgers lands in the Jets, you're not going in the Meadowlands and beating them. So what are we talking about then? I love Lamar. It's just that simple from a GM's perspective. Why am I spending this money? If I'm spending this money so we can be the fifth, sixth best team in the division, and then you're talking about Lamar playing all 17 games. If he doesn't play all 17 games, you might miss the playoffs. And you still got right there check, baby.
Let me say this. I sat here and I listened to everything you said. And the first thing that ran through my mind when you started talking, it just kept running on repeat. You got so many other quarterbacks that hold teams hostage. They hold when it's time to sign or do whatever. I'm a holdout. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now, all of a sudden, you want to make an example out of Lamar because he wants more. He wants to be paid to take the risk. It's nothing wrong with betting on yourself. It's nothing wrong with it. But if the Ravens are tired of negotiating, let them go. Let them go. Whew, Lord.
Whew. So, Ms. Rodgers.
Yes.
That's a great answer, but here's the other problem. The Ravens got to invest other places too. You're absolutely right. One of the places they have to invest is in running back. I'm sorry. J.K. Dobbins, George Costanza, whatever your running back's name is, they can't be your best players. This is another team, and I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face until the draft is over. This is a team that needs a kid like Bijan Robinson, a team that needs a kid like Jahmyr Gibbs. That's their problem. This team has to get better on the pieces around Lamar, and that's what they haven't done. Odell is the first time they've taken a step to even get close to that point. You know what I'm saying? I said it in one of the earlier shows in the year, but they were like 31 in investing in the wide receiver position the last 5 years. They've invested in Willie Snead. They've invested in Sammy Watkins.
Never do what they.
Go ahead. Don't mess with my kid like that, man. That's a kid from Texas. You can't. He probably their best option. You know, Rashad Bateman from Minnesota. They've tried Perryman, and they haven't done anything well.
Here's the thing. I asked this question, but I'll ask it in a different way. Behind Anquan Boldin, who is the greatest receiver that the Ravens have ever had?
In the words of a guy that used to go to the University of Miami, it doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't matter.
My point exactly.
It doesn't matter who they have.
A track record. That's my point.
And you're right. And you're right. And that's why I said, to Lamar's defense, they've never had an A.J. Brown caliber receiver. I said that. I acknowledge that. We acknowledge that. But what I'm saying is, even if you put Chase on the Ravens, Lamar isn't better than the other three top AFC quarterbacks. It's just the reality. And Chase, you said something. Hold on.
Jamar Chase.
You put Jamar Chase on the Ravens right now with Odell Beckham, because that's another guy that's not going to play 17 games. This is the other problem. You have to, in a perfect world, both of these guys have to play 17 games. And we're not talking about OBJ from a couple years ago. This is an older OBJ. He's not taking the top off no defense. This is a kind of like a Stephon Diggs type, you know, pure route runner, great hands. You know what I'm saying? He can get open. But once you get these good defensive coordinators like, look, we're not giving you any help in the back because we don't care what you do back there. You're not getting back there. You will take the chance on you getting past our defense because we feel like our third, fourth, our second, third fastest corner can keep up with you. You had Hollywood Brown there. He was what he was. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the problem is the Ravens and the problem is Lamar. I'm not going to put all of it on Lamar because the Ravens haven't gotten him talent. Kind of sounds like Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia, don't it? Stinks in and trash. They never really, until he got Terrell Owens, they went to the Super Bowl. Him and Terrell had problems. I'm sorry, Terrell. But
don't forget about Freddie Mitchell.
I'm not going to forget about it. That's why I didn't say his name. But like I said, you know, it kind of reeks of the Donovan McNabb, you know, era in Philadelphia. Never had really, really good receivers, you know, and he did what he did. Kind of, you know, what Lamar's doing. Everything's on Lamar's back. I acknowledge that. But at the same time, if you look around the AFC, like I said, you didn't even got to look around the AFC. Just stay in the AFC North. If Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett can make progress, you're talking about the Ravens being the third best team in the division. If the Cleveland Browns can musk anything, they have a talented team. They just the Cleveland Browns. That's their problem. They're the Cleveland Browns. And so they're going to shoot themselves in the foot daily, weekly. So, yeah, unfortunately for Lamar, he's in the situation he's in. And unfortunately for the Ravens, whether they sign him or not, they not coming out of that division this year. It just is what it is.
Maybe
before I forget, you said holding a team hostage. Aaron Rodgers has played every game for the last 5 seasons. That's where he keeps getting his money. Yeah, he chokes in the playoffs, but for the regular season, with his worth, you know, he performs. So and this is where the you start Xing out Lamar because you can't even get him to play a whole regular season. You go looking back at Aaron Rodgers last 5 years, 17 games started, 16 games started, 16 games started, 16 games started, 16 games started. You compare that to with Lamar. That's what's messing Lamar money up. He got an MVP. He got the rocket arm. I think the Ravens, if you ask the Ravens off the regular, like, yeah, he's had shitty wide receiver talent. We admit that. That if you ask them off the record, they'll tell you that. I really think they will. But I can't give guaranteed money to a guy that's going to play 11 games. And I got to rely on Tyler Huntley to get me through a crucial division game against Cincinnati because you're on the bench.
Point taken. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't missed a game since 2017. And then he had a 4-year stretch before, 3-year stretch before that. Whew, okay. All right. All right. We'll put a pin in that because that's where two Rams are going to butt heads and then the third Ram waiting to get in and butt head too. So next topic. Draymond stomps Sabonis. Clean and dirty, gentlemen. Boss BJ, I want to start with you with this one.
I mean, it's dirty, but I don't expect anything less from Draymond. It's playoff ball. I'm glad Sabonis is okay, but that's the least of the Golden State Warriors' worries. You know, it's like I'm on the fence with it. I know it's rough. I know he's trying to be the enforcer. You know, maybe do it another way. like I said, luckily Sabonis wasn't hurt, but you're playing a Sacramento team that's not scared of you, that's younger than you, faster, that has no problem. They're not in awe of you. And somebody made a good point. I forgot who it was on one of the shows a couple of days ago. It's like if Golden State doesn't get through this playoff run and win a ring, I think it's over for them. I think their window is closing up because you got this young Sacramento team, and I didn't expect this from them. And yeah, they got to go to, you know, Golden State and play them in Golden State. But that Sacramento team, I'm really impressed with Fox, Sabonis, the coaching, just the way they play, the energy, the way that they guard Clay and Steph. They're on them boys like a mouse in a glue trap. Like, I watched it last night, and I'm just like that's tiring. That is tiring. To something that bum-ass J.R. Smith said about Dellavedova guarding Curry. And, you know, I told Kevin, I said, if you think about it, this is off subject a little bit. If you think about what he just said, J.R. Smith and I believe Shumpert were better defenders than Dellavedova. Why the hell is Dellavedova checking Curry the whole game? Why? Y'all are role players. Why aren't y'all checking Curry? Y'all are better defenders, better athletes. That's a whole nother. I'm going to go on a rant that don't need to go on. But no. To Draymond, you know, did he get suspended?
No, not yet. And I don't think he deserves to be.
Okay. I was wondering that's borderline suspension. But yeah, I think you're going to see, you know, don't get me wrong, Steph is Steph. I think that Mr. Klay Thompson, Mr. I should be top 75. He's proven our point that, boy, you're not even sniffing top 100. Like, you ain't get that ass out of here, okay? Like, you know, a top 75 player, you know, like, that's a whole nother show. That's content for another time. But yeah, I think Golden State's in trouble. I think they might take one in Golden State, but I think this is going to be like a 4-1 series. I think Sacramento's moving on, baby.
In the immortal words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. Not so fast. This isn't going to be 4-1. Because what's going to happen is the next two nights, or the next two times they play, Golden State, the fans in San Francisco saw what happened in Arco. And they're going to make this an arena and an event that I don't know if Sacramento's going to be ready for this. And because Sacramento's getting points from kids like the kid Mitchell off the bench. I think he gave him 14 last night. You had another guy come off the bench, give you another 14. Like, in the playoffs, we all know that when we get on the road, those role players tend to disappear. So I don't think that you're going to get the same production from them. Now, back to the question at hand, this Draymond stomp on Sabonis, I don't think he deserves to be suspended. I think it's more hyped up than it should be. Because if you look at it, Sabonis rolled into his foot and grabbed his foot with the intent to hold him back. And then when he got stomped on, then he decided to act like he was dying. Like, if anything, you would have thought that the way Draymond stepped on him was Draymond's finisher. And he was just going down for the 1-2-3. Like, that was, instead of the people's elbow, it was the people's stomp. And Sabonis was out for the count. And it was 1-2-3 and new Intercontinental Champion Draymond Green.
It looked kind of like a coup de grace. That's what it looked like. That's exactly what it looked like. I don't think it was dirty. Because when he fell and he grabbed Draymond's foot, Draymond tried to free himself and he kind of tripped over him. And don't get me wrong. I love giving Draymond Green a hard time. I do. I love it. I love giving him a hard time, but I think that was warranted. Don't grab my foot when I'm trying to run all full speed, because what you can do, you can damage him more by trying to stop him, okay? You could have really hurt him. I think it was clean. So I think Finn Balor would have been proud of it, because that was a pretty good coup de grace, because he jumped right up and caught him good, so. Getting a little laughs here, and I enjoy it. Miss Rogers gives a laugh. Dwayne comes in with the laughs. Yes, yes, that's what we do. Should have been here for the beginning of the show. We was really on fire.
You gotta give him a shout out because he called this a long time ago.
Well, I mean, you know, when like-minded people get together, he said, hey, I got this friend Ben. You and him really click together. So the Midnight Rider would not be here, I guess, if it wasn't for Dwayne. So shout out to him, putting the team together, you know. He can own part of this 0.00000001% of the Commanders. You know, slide a little quarter on the table or something. You know, we can give him a little scoop of that or something.
Do we have a Cash App address for that for us to send our donation to get out 0.00000001%
of the Commanders? No. What we're gonna do is we're gonna buy one Commander sweatshirt and we're gonna cut it up into pieces, and that's gonna be that shirt.
Well, all right, so here's a nugget on that I've talked about, and I've learned some new information on. So there's a rule in the NFL that I've talked about where it's a five-year rule, where you can't change your uniforms within a five-year window. And I learned from one of the guys from the Washington Post that one of the contingencies in that process or that can break that rule is if you change ownership in the process, and there goes the mouse.
Uh-oh.
There goes the gerbil.
There it is. We can still hear you, just frozen.
All right, so basically they can circumvent the five-year rule by just having a new ownership group come into place. So that's basically it. So it's a possibility that you can get a full reboot of the Washington football team or Washington Commanders. They can become whoever. They can become the Red Wolves. They can become the Dinobots. They can become the DJ Woody Goody. They can become whatever they want to become, man.
You're just a hater. That's what you are.
I'm not a hater.
And to the boss, BJ, that's your profit you cutting up with that Commander sweatshirt. That's your profit you cutting up. That's your part of the profit.
See, look, I want to share. I want everybody to feel like I'm gonna put it in. You know how they used to send out the sports memorabilia cards with a piece of the jersey? That's what we're doing here. I'm gonna make cards with all of us, and I'm gonna put a piece of that jersey in the card, and you're gonna feel like an owner. I'm gonna back everything, and I'm gonna send it to y'all. You know how they send it to YouTube. 100,000 plays or whatever that is, that's how we getting it. If it's first class here, first class.
And Dwayne said they need to become the Redskins again. I think that ship has sailed. What I read on Twitter, it's a small but loud part of the fan base that would love that. But Ms. Rogers agrees. It's a small but loud part of the fan base that would love that, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's because so much negativity has been said about it, about the name. But yeah, I don't think they're going to do us right like that. Hey Ben, go back. We've been voted two of his favorite people. How about that?
There we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, it's Dwayne, I just want to let you know, when that black Lincoln pull up in front of your house, you said two. It's three on here, okay? That black Lincoln with them jersey plates pull up in front of your house. I don't want to hear nothing. Okay? I feel left out.
Oh, man. Last but not least, the NBA playoffs as a whole. We were talking about the Warriors. They're down 0-2, and they're going back to the Bay against Sacramento. I think they should play at the Cow Palace. I'm not even going to lie. Play at the Cow Palace and make it loud.
We know who won't show up, Pager. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. I'm not a hater. I swear to God, I'm not. No, I think this series is going seven. I think the league needs this to go seven. Because the East is the path of least resistance. Like, you're not gonna get anything important in the East until the second round. They gotta get these fillers out of the way. Like, I don't know, they came to a I'm not even gonna say that. I'm not gonna use that example. I'm gonna be classy. I'm gonna stick away from that one. But no, they brought Nas to the gunfight in the East first round of the playoffs. So I don't see the East doing anything. So they need the West to pop off. And I think the better thing is gonna be this Clippers and Suns. When you're getting KD and going against Kawhi, they don't match up often, but the Bulls lock horns. That's gonna be nice. Let him put that in. Hey, we should go ahead and put that on the board behind you. Lakers in six. The Nuggets going to destroy the Timberwolves. That's the sweet.
You're breaking up.
All right, so the only sweep in the West is the Nuggets.
Okay. Only sweep in the West is the Nuggets.
Lakers in six. Lakers and six.
Okay, Lakers and six.
Go with that Lake announcement.
Readjust the gerbil.
What else? Was that?
Yeah, readjust the gerbil. Let me say this. Speaking of East, anybody that can threaten a 9-year-old child, I'm gonna need you to get something, you know, going with yourself. Because if you can threaten a 9-year-old child to the point that her dad doesn't want to bring her to the game to do what she's been doing all season, you know, because her screams made Toronto go 18-36 from the line. I don't care. It's a kid being a kid. If it works, it works. I mean, as kids, we had our own superstitions. I'm sure everybody had their own sports superstitions. People need to get lives, man. Like, you actually sending threats to a 9-year-old over a basketball game? You need help. But moving right along. Lakers and six. You said Clippers and Suns. What you say? I say Clippers and six.
I think it's gonna be Suns and seven.
I think it's gonna be Clippers and seven.
In the East, I got the Knicks in four, and I got the Hawks in six. I don't believe in Boston at all.
I don't believe in Atlanta, so I think Atlanta's in five. They'll get the gentleman sweep. I think just pick a team in the East. It's gentleman sweep for the most part. I don't see anything competitive. What's the middle two?
You got Heat, Bucks.
That's six or five or six. That's only because Giannis got hurt.
Yeah. And six is Nets. Oh, and Tyler Hero has made the news this week. He broke his hand and shot a three and made it out with the broken hand.
Okay. I don't know what we caught that one. I might need some context for this one.
The comment section is open.
That might be for Draymond. So I think the Bucks in six. I think the 76ers is going to sweep. And I think Boston's going to sweep. And then what's the last thing left over from that?
You said Timberwolves in a sweep. Bucks Heat. You said that's going seven?
Six.
I think that's about it.
Okay.
I don't believe in as much as I love Jimmy Buckets, Miami just wasn't a place for him.
No, Miami's the perfect place for him. because he gets to do his thing and then show up in the playoffs. I mean, I think that's the path and the player he is. He kind of just sits.
Never had that problem in Chicago.
Oh, boy. Well, he had another problem in Chicago.
He showed up every night.
Okay. Guess that paycheck didn't show up right.
Yeah. One time we had the best backcourt in the league. But it's okay. Still a sad day in my house.
I mean, look. You can't say because John Wall and Bradley Beal already claims that's the backcourt in the league. So you can't claim that.
But look at where they at now. John Wall, is he with the Clippers? I don't even know where he's at now. Where is he at?
You see, I think he's with the Rockets. I don't know if the Rockets released him or what happened, but yeah, he's sitting at home either way.
Because I know he went with the Clippers and he had trouble out there. But anyway, John Wall's one place. Bradley Beal's here with the EBT3. So, you know, it's that not my term. That's the boss BJ's term. Remember where you heard it first at? The EBT3 here in D.C., you heard it here on the Sideline Junkies.
That was Midnight Rider all the way.
Was it? I thought that was you. Midnight Rider came up with that. But that's our word. EBT3. Shit. But playoffs don't take on the same meaning they used to.
And I apologize. The Cavs and the Knicks is the only Eastern Conference series that's going to be competitive the whole way through.
Because you got two teams that's middle of the road.
The Cavs will be trouble.
The Knicks have been middle of the road all season.
The Cavs will be trouble.
Well, look who they got.
Exactly.
You got Spider Mitchell. I'm with that.
No, they have Darius Garland.
Yeah, but they one of those backcourts that I was a fan of, Sex Lane. And John Wall is with the Clippers. Thank you, Dwayne. Because I know he was having trouble and they was talking about releasing him as well when they got Russell Westbrook. But he bounces around so much, man. I'm like, he going to wind up back in Washington. Watch. Mark my words. He's going to wind up back in Washington.
You got a better chance to find a penny with a hole in it.
They say I'm hopeless. I'm sorry. That was a great fucking song. man. Any final thoughts before we get out of here, fellas? Because we running on fumes, and I got to get the mothership back in the daggone garage before the People's Choice Don Rodriguez finds out.
Another important week for the Nats. They got the Orioles. They're down 1-0. It's another sign that their pitching is doing its job. They just got to start hitting a little bit better. The man I berated for being signed, Jaime Candelario, he leads the team in home runs. He's playing a solid third base, so I can't be too mad at him anymore. So that's, I guess, the place where I have to eat crow. But there's a kid, Stone Garrett, that's been playing some amazing baseball. So I would love to see him get more at-bats. I mean, I don't see a reason why when your outfield is Alex Cole, Logan Thomas, they're not holding place for anybody, keeping anybody hold off anybody from getting some shine. So I'd love to see what this Stone Garrett kid can do. Hopefully he'll get some at-bats these next couple of weeks.
Nah, I don't have nothing, fellas. Great show. You know, everybody, for me boycotting the NBA like I did this season, really, really enjoyed that Kings-Warriors game last night. So I'll be tuned into that. I'll be glued to that series. And I got a special interest in the Clippers, so I'm watching that too.
Well, if we talking NBA, my Bulls are home after playing in the play-in. So I'm going with the next closest team, and that's Milwaukee. Hopefully Giannis can get himself together. And I would love to see a Milwaukee – if it's possible, I got to look at the bracket to know if it's possible. But if the Knicks can get pretty far, that would be good too. But I would love to see the Knicks do well as Milwaukee. If they wind up playing each other in the conference finals, it's good for business. Because you got the Mecca of basketball being on primetime TV, baby. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. If you're here, make sure you like the Sideline Junkies page. Join our group. Open discussions all the time. Like and subscribe on TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. We on all of it. And then if you want to listen to this, just the audio, any streaming platform, make sure you subscribe so you do not miss a episode. Every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, four times a week. And we do a special every now and again. But four times a week, you can hear us. So we always ringing off in your ears and everything. And thank you, Ms. Rogers, for joining us. Come back on Thursday. Oh, we got to get ready for the draft. We will be going live during the draft because I want to hit a Midnight Rider, pick a couple picks before they come through. You know?
That's what we're doing for, man.
I'm normally standing on the table.
We're gonna have fun with this one. I say let's only go to 16. I don't know if my alcohol content can last me past 16.
Well, we always do 16. You know, we start off with like an Instagram live, and then okay. We switch over and come over here live. And then if it takes too long, we switch back to Instagram live. So
whatever it takes, man. I'm with you.
Oh, next pay-per-view we do, you got it. I will hit you up and we can get in there, see if you can beat WrestleMania champ, thank you very much. Just want to let everybody know.
That's what y'all need to do. Y'all need to put a belt. Y'all need to purchase a belt together as a group and put the belt on the line for every pay-per-view. And the winner of the belt holds that belt until the next pay-per-view comes up.
That's fine with me. We talked about that before.
Belt with a nameplate.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about something you can either buy a replica or you make your own.
I say we do it anyway. I'm with it. That way I can walk around with my belt. I'm fine with that.
We need one for that and one for the – well, hold on. Are you going to be able to get your picks in if we do NFL picks? Because I'm just asking.
Here we go. One time.
I'm just saying. Nah, technically twice because you didn't get your CBS NCAA picks in either. So I'm just saying.
Who won the pick? The NFL pick'em this year between us.
I believe you did.
You did.
I know I did. I just wanted to ask.
But wait. Who won the fantasy football championship?
Oh boy.
This guy.
Oh,
you won that. I'm just winning all over the place, man.
All right, man. Let me get out of here. I'm about to try to work this double.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. And, oh, Dwayne, we know I got to get with you about the belts. I'm trying to get me a United States, old school NWA United States championship belt.
I want the TV title.
I seen that one too. I want it. So I got a list, but I got to behave. You know, I got to do it in secret. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We don't do no overtime, y'all. We are out of here. I'm on in.